Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez starts right now.
You know what, guys? Unfortunately, my mic wasn't on. I know you guys probably heard me on Facebook Live, but my regular mic wasn't on for Blog Talk Radio, so I'm going to reintroduce myself. This is Russell talking to D with Martez, and I'm coming to you live from Detroit. I've got to get myself together. I'm so unprepared for this show tonight, so you're going to have to forgive me, everybody. But it's so much to talk about tonight. We got two interviews. We're going to be talking to Miranda Morales from the LuchaCentral.com and TheChairShot.com. And we're also going to be talking to Mr. Lee Walker. He's a contributor of the SportsKedia.com. We're going to be talking to him. And he's also a podcaster as well. He hosts the show The Perch on the Top. So I'm looking forward to talk to those two people coming up pretty shortly. But first, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I know without him, there's no me. And as I stated earlier, I'm going to open up the phone lines a little bit later for you to call in, for you to discuss anything you want to discuss regarding wrestling. But I want to honestly celebrate right now. I want to pause and celebrate two people. And those people are Sasha Banks and Bayley, because guess what, everybody? Sasha Banks and Bayley are your new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions for a second time in a row. I couldn't be more happier. I think that was a great idea for them to be champions again. I think Sasha and Bayley will make those championships important, okay? Taking nothing away from Alexa Bliss, taking nothing away from Nikki Cross, but Sasha Banks and Bayley are on a whole nother level right now. Bayley is one of the best heels in professional wrestling today. Bayley is absolutely kicking butt in the heel department. Like, she went from being the lovable hugger to one of the best heels I've seen in the last 10 years of wrestling. And yes, I said it. She's one of the best heels in the last 10 years of wrestling that I've seen. Bayley, she had to work extra hard for us to believe that she could be a bad person, for us to believe that she could be a bad guy, because we were so used to Bayley being this hugger, being this friendly character, being this lovable character, this character that was always happy, this character that was for the kids. And when Bayley turned heel, many of us wasn't sure if she can actually succeed in that department. And I believe many of us knew that Sasha Banks could succeed in that department, because Sasha Banks, she always kind of had that attitude, like, I'm the baddest girl around. I'm all that in the bag of chips. Sasha Banks, it was easy to believe that Sasha Banks is a heel. It was easy to believe that. But in terms of Bayley, not so much. Not so much. And I think Bayley has done a stellar job at being a heel. And I think WWE was super smart for putting the tag team championships on Sasha Banks and Bayley. Sasha Banks and Bayley, they're the hottest, one of the hottest things going right now, in my opinion, in WWE. You know, they're funny. They're entertaining. You know, they're must-see TV, in my opinion. Whenever I'm watching SmackDown and those two come on, you know, I stop what I'm doing and I focus on those two much more harder than I focus on other things that go on SmackDown. And I think it was the right move. You know, you want to be able to have your belts around people that you can trust, people that you know will deliver. And Sasha and Bayley, they have been delivering. Bayley has been a strong SmackDown champion, women's champion. She's been a strong SmackDown women's champion. And the fact that you put two belts on her now, game, set, match. Like Bayley, she's going to rub it in everybody's face. She's going to make you dislike her more, because I do believe people are really starting to dislike Bayley a little bit more, because in this with this role as a heel that she has been doing such a good job with, in my opinion. The phone number is 646-668-8672. The phone number is 646-668-8672. Once again, this is Russell talking to D, and I am really unprepared for this show tonight, but I'm winging it the best way I know how. I'm winging it the best way I can do, and I hope you guys understand that.
Okay.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's tough doing shows from your home when you got kids around, and these not even my kids. You know, these are cousins, nephews. You know, I miss my little private space where I can do this show. But again, this is so tough doing this show when you're at home due to this whack virus that has been such a hindrance to our life. But we're going to be talking to Miranda Morales coming up shortly at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. She is the host of the LuchaCentral.com, and she's also part of the ChairShot.com, and she's also a ring announcer. She's a journalist. She wears so many hats. So once she calls in, we're going to bring her on to the show. So, NXT TakeOver In Your House is tonight. It'll be getting started around 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm interested to see how this is going to be, how they're going to present In Your House to us tonight. I think NXT, most of the time, they deliver on their pay-per-views. NXT will always give you 100%. Like, I feel like you won't be disappointed after watching the NXT TakeOver. I've seen many NXT takeovers, and I was never disappointed, not one bit. But I do want to know this. How will they present In Your House tonight? Many of us that grew up in the 90s, the late 90s, In Your House was presented in a unique form. Yes, it was done at an arena, but the presentation was as if the wrestlers were wrestling inside of the house. Basically, what I'm saying is this. When the wrestlers come out of the, from the back into the entranceway, the wrestlers will come out. The wrestlers will come out via a house. So I'm wondering, will they go that route again? Will they actually have the wrestlers coming out through a house? Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you, many of you probably can tell that I'm not prepared tonight because I'm not in sync, and that's the problem. And this is Radio 101. This is Podcasting 101. That's, you got to be on top of your game. You got to plan. You got to prep. You got to be ready. And right now, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for tonight. I could sit here all night and talk about how much I love Sasha Banks and talk about how much I love Bayley and talk about how much that was a good move on the part of WWE to give them the belt. But I don't want to bore you tonight. I don't want to bore you in these next few hours. I just don't. What are you guys looking forward to with In Your House tonight? Do you think Ciampa might pick up the victory against Karrion Kross? I don't think Ciampa picks up the victory. I think Karrion will absolutely dominate Killer Kross. I think Karrion will absolutely dominate Ciampa tonight. And I think he's going to pick up the victory. But I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about wrestling, and I'm trying to get myself together. This is Wrestle Talk and Indeed, a pitiful edition on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. All right, yes, we're back. Russell talking to D with Martez. Hope everybody's having a good night, having a blessed night right here on a Sunday night. You know, I want to get something off my chest before I take some phone calls. And I want to target today's wrestling fan. And I've been saying this as of late. And I've been speaking this as of late. And I've been talking about this as of late. I understand people are not happy with Nia Jax. They want to say that she's not careful in the ring. She's not a good worker in the ring. She injures people. I get all that. I get all that. I get that she may not be sharp at times, but I'm really starting to believe that some of you wrestling fans just hate just to be hating. I'm really starting to believe some of you wrestling fans are literally going out your way to be evil just to be evil. It's one thing to be unhappy with a professional wrestler, and it's another thing to say the most egregious things to that said wrestlers. Okay, I'm going to save this topic for a little bit later. Our interviewee is here today. I'm going to be bringing on right now Miss Miranda Morales. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. She wears so many hats. So hopefully we can talk about all the hats that she wears. She's a podcaster. She's a ring announcer. She's a podcaster for the Lucha Central, the Chairshot.com. So I'll definitely want to get into that with her. But before I bring her on, I want to pause and say this. Nobody has to accept your invitation. Nobody has to say yes. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to a graduation. It could be an invitation to a wedding. Nobody has to say yes. Nobody has to come on your show. So we want to thank Ms. Morales for saying yes to come on Wrestle Talking to D tonight. But before we bring her on, we're going to play her a proper intro, and then we're going to bring her on to the show. Ever listen out there, coming on to Wrestle Talking to D for the first time tonight, Miss Miranda Morales. How you doing, Miss Morales?
I'm doing great, Martez. How about you?
I'm doing good. Just trying to get it together over there. We had some technical difficulties earlier.
No problems. I know that on a weekly basis, so I commend you for persevering through all those technical difficulties. It's never fun to have to work through.
Amen. Hey, see, you know the deal. So I don't keep you too long because I know we're not working with a lot of time, but definitely want to get to know you because this is your first time on this show. This is the first time our viewers. Are listening to you, from what I know. But first, I want to ask this question. How did you get involved with wrestling before we get into everything else? How did you begin to love wrestling or like wrestling? How did that all start for you?
Yeah. Man, I am a 90s kid. I grew up in when we all grow up, and watch wrestling, we all consider our era, our time period of being a fan as the greatest. But I grew up in the Attitude Era and in the Monday Night Wars. So what actually got me hooked, I first started watching WCW Nitro back in 98. And the NWO, you know, kind of their reign of power within WCW and that power struggle between the NWO and WCW got me really interested. However, shortly afterward, I really got hooked to the WWF. This was about the time of the 98 Rumble with Stone Cold Steve Austin, right after he won, and the whole storyline between him and Shawn Michaels and Mike Tyson. I was just so entranced by Stone Cold and his attitude and not caring about anything, just the way that he handled business. So that was really my time period, and that particular storyline is what got me hooked on pro wrestling.
Wow. That's a great way to be ingratiated into wrestling with the likes of Storm Cold Steve Austin.
One of the greatest. I know everyone says that about their time period, but that truly is one of the best stories in wrestling history.
It is, and I'm getting chills talking about it because, like, if it wasn't for Stone Cold and maybe even the NWO, I think wrestling wouldn't have it wouldn't be as alive as it is today. It might still be around, but I don't think it would. Like, that period really helped wrestling out, having Stone Cold be who he was for the business at that time. So yeah, that was a good time to ingratiate yourself with wrestling. could you talk about the Lucha Central? How did that get started?
Yeah.
Could you explain that to the viewers, Lucha Central?
Yeah. LuchaCentral.com was a passion project of one Mr. Kevin Kleinrock.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He was heavily involved in the development of Wrestling Society X and a huge Lucha Libre fan. And so he started this website a while back. But also something that's been fairly new with LuchaCentral.com is the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And let me take a step back. I always jump ahead of myself. LuchaCentral.com is a website that is specifically geared towards Lucha Libre news, interviews, podcasts. They have a lot of cool content when it comes to videos. This Week in Lucha Libre History, which highlights historical events in Lucha Libre. And it's just a great website for people who are either really familiar and huge fans of the Lucha Libre movement and scene, and also for people who are somewhat new to specifically Lucha Libre. And so, and that was something that I think Kevin was really passionate about, was that it was a website for anyone who was interested in Lucha Libre, not just hardcore fans, but people just getting into Lucha Libre.
Wow. That's awesome the way you you explained that. It really is. Now, how long have you been in the podcasting world? Is this the first time, or have you done podcasting before this?
I've actually been working with another wrestling site, Chairshot.com, now for about a year and a half. One of my dear friends, Greg DeMarco, he brought me in one time on his podcast. At the time, it was called The Greg DeMarco Show, and it's now called Chairshot Radio. He brought me on a one-off, and it's very interesting. I was listening to what you were talking about with Nia Jax, because the very first podcast I ever did was an episode called The Trials of Nia Jax. And it was myself, Greg, and our the third co-host, Patrick O'Dowd, talking about Nia Jax. And essentially, Patrick served as the prosecutor, I served as the defense, and Greg was the judge. So we had a long discussion about, you know, exactly what you were talking about with Nia Jax. And I had so much fun that I kept coming on week after week. And then a few months into it, Greg asked if I'd be willing to host my own podcast. And the hashtag Miranda Show was born. And that one is just more of a random podcast because I have that kind of personality. I'm a little all over the place. My brain thinks a little bit differently. My approach to wrestling fandom is a little different. So I just wanted to have a fun space where, you know, I could talk about my perspective of being as a fan, also as a female fan, and all, you know, just what keeps me interested and engaged in pro wrestling. So that's been about a year and a half now, doing those shows on a weekly basis.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And then I like the fact that you said you wanted to basically, in so many words, be your own self. Like, the way you talk about wrestling is different than others. And I think that's always important, to be yourself. When you're doing a podcast or a show. So I definitely commend you on that, because a lot of times people like to imitate other people, and it just doesn't come off that well.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And sometimes it can feel scary to have your own perspective because you want people to listen to you. You want people to like your content. But it's also, like you said, you have to be authentic. The moment you move away to try and be like someone else, you know, what's kind of the point about it? So it's important to share your perspective. And one thing I've loved about podcasting is the fact that it's a cool way to hear about different perspectives and viewpoints and inspirations of fandoms and things like that, because wrestling is such a wide audience. It's a worldwide audience, but we don't know each other. We so many people have never communicated or met with each other, but to listen to a podcast and be able to connect with someone's thoughts and opinions, I've always found that really valuable. And there's also people who you don't agree with, but it's nice to learn a different perspective because you can always view things from a different viewpoint. But it's also just a really fun way to celebrate, you know, being wrestling fans. Like, we're always in this little niche community. And sometimes, you know, I'm sure we've all heard it before. Wrestling's fake. Why do you like it? Whatever. So it's nice as a community when we can come together and listen to each other's cast and to be able to, you know, talk about our, not only our fandom, things we like, what we don't like, things that we wish would be different. Because it, you know, gives all of us fans a voice. But it also reminds us that we are not alone. There is a larger fan base and population out there who really do love wrestling.
100%. And you got it down pat. Like, you covered all bases, and you definitely got a grip on this this industry. Two more things before we let you go. You're a ring announcer, right? Can you talk a little bit about that? How did you become a ring announcer?
Yeah.
What's that like? Because a lot of times, ring announcers, for me, they don't get noticed that much, but their job is just as important as the wrestler and the referee and the announce team. So could you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, no. I got into announcing and interviewing before podcasting, but luckily I feel like they have helped out. Each career has helped each other out. I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico for several years, and there was a promotion out there called Destiny Wrestling Organization. I met with the promoters there and really wanted to get involved. It was my first time stepping over that barrier from fan into more of a talent role, which was fascinating. I never thought I would ever be in that situation. So I actually started as a backstage interviewer for Destiny Wrestling. And we had a weekly show that we would record. And so interviewing has always been something I've been interested in and passionate about. And ring announcing was something that just kind of they asked me to start learning and doing because they had primarily their commissioner do the ring announcing, and they wanted to kind of separate the commissioner and ring announcing role and have really the commissioner just in that commissioner role. So I stepped in and learned the ropes in ring announcing in Albuquerque. I was there for about a year and a half, and then I moved to Arizona. And the first organization I worked with out here was Arizona Wrestling Federation. And I announced for them for about a year. And I've been kind of I'm just working with different promotions throughout Arizona. There's definitely a bigger wrestling presence out here, but they're all fairly different in just the way that they run and their talent. I also work with another promotion called Rockstar Wrestling Alliance, which is a Lucha Libre show and a concert tied into one. It's a Lucha Libre-based wrestling promotion, and they do Lucha Libre matches, but there's also a band that will play in between matches. So it's like you're at a concert, but also at a wrestling show, which is crazy. It's just like the most unique spin I've ever seen on wrestling. And I've worked, you know, other promotions here and there throughout Arizona, and I dipped my toe into the Las Vegas scene back in March. So it's something that, you know, for me, I put a lot of pressure on myself to do well because I agree with you. Everyone in a wrestling promotion has a role, whether it's, of course, the wrestlers, but announcers, commentators, referees, timekeepers, people who are setting up the ring, running the music. I mean, it all plays together. So all I ever want to do is to be able to go into that ring and do justice to whoever I am announcing. You know, being able to convey what they want me to convey about their character, about their personality, whether they're face or heel, or, you know, they want to be comical or serious or scare me, which that's, you know, something I get very often is when they want to freak me out and scare me, I can get very jumpy and jittery. But I just try and they love it. The fans love it. You know, I'm just a naturally anxious, nervous person as well.
Yeah.
So it all works out. But I agree. Everyone has that role. And I think it can feel like people not undervalue, but just underplay the role of a ring announcer. But it is very true that they help carry the tone of the event, that they are the person that gets seen for the majority of the show. And at a more independent level, they help carry the crowd from match to match, or they help, you know, help with trying to keep the highs and keep the momentum moving. So there's, you know, some nuances with ring announcing, but it's something I really enjoy. I've missed during this time period with not many companies or anyone running for a while. And I really just love being in the ring. It truly is an energetic, magnetic feeling. I can totally understand why people pursue pro wrestling as a career or refereeing or anything, because even just in those few instances that I'm up there, it's something else.
That's awesome. Like, I could just hear you talk all night, to be honest with you.
That's so sweet. That's very sweet.
A lot of times you can be fake on the radio, you can be fake on the podcast, but I'm being serious. Like, you are dynamite. You know, I can feel your passion for the business. And every now and then I get not depressed, or I don't get excited about doing this all the time, you know. And just to hear you speak, you are igniting fires within me to continue to do this and continue to do things in the wrestling business. So I got major love for you right now. I really do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, and you should. I mean, this is what it's all about. Like, again, you know, we are a wrestling community. And like I said, I was overhearing a little bit of what you were talking about earlier with sometimes wrestling fans just, you know, maybe attacking a person or an idea just because they can. And I feel like it's such a hard thing to balance sometimes between, of course, having your opinion, sharing your opinion, being able to speak up, but then also when it comes to the point of maybe over-criticizing or, you know, crossing lines with being cruel or mean or just distasteful in the way that, you know, you comment or talk about things or events or people. So it can feel hard because, of course, even one negative comment or one negative, you know, tone or moment can override tens of good things. So I just try and do my best as in the role that I serve with podcasting and announcing to just, you know, let people know that it's okay to be a wrestling fan, to be proud of being a wrestling fan, that we are part of this larger community, that we all have things to share and contribute. And, you know, it truly is a great time to be a wrestling fan. I mean, you see so many things happening with, you know, the growth of promotions, you know, amazing talent all over the U.S., all over the world.
Yeah.
So many different genres of wrestling available that it truly, you can pick whatever you want out of pro wrestling and you can find it.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Lastly, is there anything you want to promote? Any new projects, any current projects that you want to talk about before we let you go tonight?
Yeah, man, that's a loaded question because there's a lot going on. And, you know, I really want to take a second to thank you for asking me to be on this show. I know what it's like to try and reach out to people to join your show, and it can be, you know, a lot to do. And I'd love to have the chance to talk with you even more because I know our time has been short, but I've really, really enjoyed talking with you, and your questions and your insights have been fantastic. So I want to say that before I, you know, go off and plug a bunch of stuff because You really do deserve that. As you mentioned, I'm on a few things. I'm on a weekly podcast with thechairshot.com, two of them actually, Chairshot Radio and the Hashtag Miranda Show. You can find them at thechairshot.com. It's also just a great website for wrestling news, analysis, and opinions. I'm going to be going on the Chairshot's Twitter account for tonight's NXT TakeOver. I'm taking over the Twitter account, so at Chairshot Media, if anybody wants to follow along. It's actually my first time ever on Twitter. I don't have a Twitter account, me personally, at all. So it's really going to be trial and error tonight. So if you just want to see what that is like, follow at Chairshot Media on Twitter. And then every Friday, Lucha Central weekly podcast drops on luchacentral.com. And that's a show that we cover just news regarding Lucha Libre in Mexico, a lot of the big promotions there like AAA and CMLL, plus some of the independent promotions in Mexico. But we also cover Lucha Libre related news and luchadores within American promotions like AEW, WWE, Ring of Honor, Impact. And again, our podcast for LuchaCentral.com is, you know, really just for everyone. If you are brand new to Lucha Libre and you're just learning more about the luchadors and the way that Lucha Libre works in comparison to American wrestling, but it's also there for some of the more dedicated Lucha Libre fans, people who have been watching for years. We have expertise in different areas, and some of us, you know, like me, I'm a little bit actually more novice in Lucha Libre. So it's just a great podcast, and both the podcast for Chairshot and Lucha Central can be found through Spotify, iTunes, Podbay. So just look up the Chairshot or Lucha Central to follow any of those podcasts.
All right. Hey, well, you heard it, people. Who's ever listening tonight, you heard what she had to say. Follow her. She's a great listen. I listened to one of your pieces for Lucha Central, and I recommend you guys listen to her as well, because there's more people out there to listen to than just the basic people that we know of. But thank you for coming on, and hopefully we can do this again, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I hope you have a great night and a great week.
You too. Wait a second. If you can remember us, if you can send me the Twitter account, I'd love to follow you guys tonight. If you can remember, I know you got a lot going on, but
I'll send it to you. Right now, and I'll send you just in case anyone wants to follow me personally. I am on Instagram and Facebook at the hashtag Miranda hashtag spelled out. So if you ever want to follow me on social media, at the hashtag Miranda.
All right, you heard it. All right, you have a good night, and God be with you. Okay.
Yes, you too, Marta. Take care. Have a great evening.
All right. There you have it. You know, I definitely enjoyed that interview. You never know how an interview will go. I always say that. You never know if you're going to do a good job or a bad job. You never know if you're going to be in sync with these people. But definitely go check her out. That's Miranda Morales. She's a great listen. We're going to take a – before we get to our selection of the night, we're going to take a phone call from Miss Stacy. She's an alumni of this program. She's primarily the boss. And I don't know if she's going to, how should I put this? I don't know what Stacy's going to say when she comes on, but hopefully I'm not in trouble. What up, Stacy?
Hey, how are you?
You know what, Stacy? I'm doing all right. You know, I had a rough day, and I had a kind of an annoying kind of a morning, but I'm doing good. You know, I'm happy to be here tonight. Happy to be able to talk wrestling the best way I know how to do.
You're doing a good job. You keep saying you don't have anything in order. You do.
Thank you for saying that. It's just over here on my end. I just shoot from the hip. I don't really do the planning that I want to do. I just really just shoot from my heart, talk from my heart. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm not doing a good enough job. But thank you. Thank you. You always
you
have
are doing a, you're doing an outstanding job.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And people have to understand, sometimes the kids in the background, they're cousins, kids and all that, and you have to step in and take care of them. So if they don't like hearing them in the background, I won't say anything else.
You good? You good? We should just start calling the show Russell Talking to D and the Kids, because these kids, they find themselves a part of the show. You know, even when I don't want them to be a part of the show, they just find themselves a part of it. But
it's so cute when they come up. I want pizza. When's the show over?
Right.
Yeah.
You heard
that? I listened to them.
Oh my.
I've heard everything they've ever said. I've heard you take breaks and yell at them.
Right. Now I try to be private, but you know, Stacy, she's been a blessing to the kids, you know, if you don't mind me saying this. Like I'm gonna say it on air because I'm, can I say it or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, Stacy has went on her way to send the kids candy and toys for Easter and numerous occasions. She's always went on her way to show love to kids she don't even know, you know. So that's why you my friend, even if I don't talk to you that much. But that's why you my friend, because you got a heart, you know. You got a super heart, and I wish more people was like you. So I wanted to recognize you on the air right now.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to call in because you seem like you just did that interview. It was great, and you keep knocking yourself down, and it makes me mad. But I'm not going to yell. Another day. The past is the past.
Well,
thank you. No, I was disappointed I didn't get to make the secret location party yesterday. The heat is killing me.
Say that again?
I didn't get to make the undisclosed wrestling party, you know. I really was going to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I wasn't able to make it either. But, I mean, you're all the way in Chicago, so that you kind of have an excuse.
Yeah, 90 degrees, that's my excuse.
But really quick,
what do you think of Steve Aaron coming to Chicagoland Wrestling?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing. You know, I think, and I told him this, congratulations. You know, he's continuing to get blessed. You know, it seems like everybody wants his services. I think he's a heck of a talent, and I think he's going to make Chicagoland Wrestling a bigger attraction. I've had a chance to work with him for almost 2 years now, and I love Steve, to be honest with you. So I think it's a good move, you know, and obviously John thought it was a good move too. But you know more about that stuff than I do.
It was. And it was actually funny because on Friday I wrote John and I said, did you listen to the show from yesterday? He's like, no. And I'm like, listen to it. And he couldn't see the comments, but I'm like, can you make Steve's dream come true and let him, I can't say the word, so I always say, speak on the microphone for this one match.
What?
And remember on your show how the cowboy wants to take on, I think, Chris Coyote, whatever. Do you remember that at Chicagoland? And he said he would love to be the comment, you know, talk during that match.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He has no idea.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm trying to recall it.
That show was crazy. That show was so insane. I swear, it was funny. Yeah. I called it the Halloween edition.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, Stacy. I don't want to cut you off, but I believe my interviewee is here, so I'm going to have to put you on a hold, okay?
Yeah. No, it's okay. I'm going to let you go, but everyone be safe, be blessed, have a good evening, and lay off Bailey.
All right, Stacy. Take care.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye, everyone.
You know it. All right, everybody. I believe this is our interviewee calling into Russell Talking to D. That and the person of Lee Walker. I reached out to him a while back about him coming onto the show, but I didn't follow through with everything. So I contacted him again maybe it was last week, and he said yes to come on the show. This is Lee Walker. He wears so many hats. He's the podcaster host of hopefully I'm saying this right. Perch on the Top. I think he's going to kill me if I said that wrong. He's also a part of sportskia.com. Like I said, he's super, super famous from what I came to know. So I'm definitely eager to talk to him. But I always say this, nobody has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to a wedding. It could be an invitation to a graduation. Nobody has to say yes. So I'm always appreciative when someone says yes to come on your show. So before we bring on Mr. Lee, I want to give him a proper intro before we bring him onto the show. Of the night, we're going to be bringing on to Russell Talking to D for the first time ever, host of the Perch on the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast and journalist, Mr. Lee Walker. What's up, Lee? Thanks for joining the show tonight.
Hey, first I want to say thanks for having me on, and the second part is I was totally strutting and styling, doing the Ric Flair strut while that was playing.
you got to. You know, especially when you hear that theme song. It's something about that theme song that just it gets you moving. It gets you – it has me feeling like I'm a king, if you will. So I totally get that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, it gets you hyped. And I was going, woo!
Absolutely. Oh, man, once again, thanks for coming on to the show, man. I really appreciate it because come to find out, you are an interesting guy. And I'm not going to spend too much time with you today, but the little time that we do have with you, I want the people to get to know you. I mean, you are incredible, to be honest with you. Could you tell us, how did you even find wrestling fascinating? Like, how did you begin to like wrestling as a wrestling fan before we get into everything else?
Oh, man. So I actually started off the earliest thing I remember about pro wrestling it was either my fourth or fifth birthday, and I'm leaning towards it was my fourth. My parents or grandparents had bought me the Series 1 figures from the WWF Hasbro line, Hulk Hogan and the Big Boss Man, for my birthday.
Yeah.
Can't remember much before that as a fan, but like that's like a big moment for me that sticks out. And a lot of my earlier memories are around those toys. But the earliest thing I actually remember watching when it comes to wrestling was it was SummerSlam 91, I think, where Macho Man married Miss Elizabeth.
Right.
And I was at my cousin's house, big screen TV, and when every time Miss Elizabeth came on, all the boys rushed to the TV to try and kiss her, but
yeah.
we would end up, you know, kissing Macho Man and being like, ew, you know, like spitting on the floor type deal.
Right, right.
So that's my earliest memories, but from what I remember about liking wrestling, but I think it was always, over the top characters that WWF had at the time, like the Hulk Hogan's, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man. You know, to me, those guys were just larger than life. And, and that's how I fell in love with it. I was just a kid.
Oh man. Fantastic. That's definitely a great way to fall in love with it. We all have our own ways of falling in love with wrestling, and that one is second to none. When I first came across you, man, I came across your podcast, the Perch on the Top Rope. But could you tell us how did that come about? How did you start getting into the podcast world?
So it was kind of funny. At the time, I was writing for RingsideNews.com.
Yeah.
And the owner of the website had heard one of my interviews that I had published for him. It was, I don't remember who it was. If I tell you it was Buff Bagwell, it was Honky Tonk Man or something like that. But it was one of my very first interviews I had published with them. And he was listening to me and he goes, man, you sound like you have a voice for podcasting. So I was just kind of like, I never thought about that. And this company called Perched Sports, found me, and they had messaged me and was like, "Hey, you know, we read all your stuff and yada yada. You know, would you like to do a podcast?" And I thought about it. I was like, "All right, yeah, let's do it." And we named it Perched on the Top Rope, and the whole reason behind the name is because if you watch Corey Graves. At first it was Monday nights and now it's on Fridays. And every once in a while you'll hear Michael Cole say it too. When someone's on the top rope, they're usually saying, he's perched on the top rope. So I was just like, that's it. That's the name.
Wow.
And that's how it started.
Man, that's cool. That's cool. So like when you first got started, a lot of the times people that's listening to podcasts, they don't know what podcaster has to go through to actually produce a show. What are some of the things that you had to go through on the day of a podcast? Well, basically, like, what are some of the things that goes into producing a podcast for us to listen to?
So a lot of people don't realize it. And, like, I still personally don't have, like, all the right equipment. Like, I don't have a sound mixer. For better quality sound. I literally just plug my microphone into my laptop and kind of go from there. But there's a lot of stuff you have to learn. You have to learn how to edit audio, and that's no easy task in itself. That alone took me probably a month to figure out just to do basic stuff. When it came to editing, if you're doing video, and people go to school for this. If you're doing video interviews and stuff like that and you need to edit, you need to learn how to use, video editing software. And if you didn't learn it through school, then you got to be self-taught, which, you know, if you're someone like me and you're self-taught and, you know, you work full-time and have a full-time job and everything, it's time-consuming.
It is.
you know, you got to make sure all your, you know, prior to doing the show, you know, sound checks, making sure everything's working properly, making sure, like, if you're doing an interview, making sure that person, their, you know, you have their audio settings correct. If you have a mixer, which I don't, so generally I try to make sure anyone I'm working with has a microphone plugged in or at least using headphones type deal to, like, block out the sound in their background sort of deal. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it because it's not just, hey, do the show. You have to think about now what you want to do for a show. Do you want to do kind of like what a lot of people do in the wrestling world, which is talk the gossips and the, you know, the dirt sheets and the rumors and the, you know, predictions to matches or after a pay-per-view. So you got to find like a specific niche when it comes to the podcast and what kind of material you want to produce. Right. Generally, I've been sticking to, you know, doing the interviews, which is always fun. Every once in a while, like on our Facebook, I'll post memes or, like, you know, for the In Your House pay-per-view for NXT tonight, I did like a predictions post for people to go on there and post, you know, their predictions and stuff like that. So when it comes to it, all said and done, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, when you put your heart into it and you want, you know, fans to listen to make sure you're putting on a good show, it's time consuming. It's really time consuming.
It is. And I don't think people really realize how much time it takes out of your schedule, especially if you work in a full-time job, as I can relate to that, man. Working a full-time job and trying to run a radio operation or a podcast operation is definitely a lot that go into it. So I agree with you with that. Now, Mr. Walker, you've interviewed a lot of people. You know, you sent me a huge list the other night that I was really taken aback. I was taken aback and I was amazed. You interviewed the likes of Terry Remy, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Mark Henry, to name a few. That's just a few, everybody. Two things. How did you – you can't give all your secrets out, I guess, but how did you even get involved with being able to interview these high-profile professional wrestlers?
So the funny thing about it is I was writing for a company – called I Heart Oswego at the time. It's a local company here in my hometown. And there was a wrestling show for a wrestling promotion out of Syracuse, New York called 2CW. I knew what I was getting into, that, you know, and I knew a lot of the names that were there. I mean, at this one show alone, and it was a double show because it was their last show ever. And this was December 17th, 3 months before AJ Styles showed up in the Royal Rumble. AJ Styles was there. AR Fox was there. Sami Callihan, who was just released by NXT, was there. Too Cold Scorpio, ECW original, was there. Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, Matt Cross, Eddie Edwards, The Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega were all on that show. And I worked with just about everybody from that show. And we were taught, you know, the purpose of the article was talking about, you know, 2CW, it being its final show and everything. So we had done that. And I talked to a lot of those men and women. And Havoc was there. Jessica Havoc was there as well. So I talked to a lot of the men and women that were there about, you know, 2CW. And what made it really interesting was Kenny Omega actually remembered me from an article I had written prior, and I had tagged, like, everybody that I could that I'd written on the article. It was top 10 best tag team moves, you know, finishers of all time.
Yeah.
So he got mad that I had ranked – His finishing at the time, he was tagging with I'm drawing a blank, but they were the Golden Lovers, and the finishing move was the Golden Shower.
Okay.
So I had tagged him in it, and, you know, he had did like a little promo on me about it. So when I went up and actually introduced myself, because now it's the first time I'm ever meeting Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and he goes, "Dude." And then he looks at Nick and Matt and he goes, "This is the guy who ranked the Golden Shower third, dude. Are you kidding me?" And he remembered who I was. So I was blown away that he remembered a tweet, you know.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It was just a tweet. I wrote the article up for I Heart Oswego, and pretty much the next day I quit and I wanted to follow wrestling, and that's what I did.
Wow.
I'm sorry, it wasn't 2017. It was actually 2015.
Wow.
When that happened. It was 2015.
Wow, okay. Wow.
That's how I got into it.
Good God Almighty. That's a heck of a story, man. It really is. Now,
so like some of the first people in wrestling I interviewed, you know, were the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega,
mm-hmm.
Eddie Edwards, all, you know, guys like that.
Yeah.
And that's how it started.
So what does that do for you? Like seriously, like when you can cash in on interviewing. Because I believe we all are human, okay? I try not to put people above other people. I think we all one, so to speak. But in this industry, obviously these guys are more high profile than other professional wrestlers on the indie level, indie scene. So basically what I want to ask you, what is that experience like, you know, interviewing some of your favorite wrestlers, like interviewing people that you are a fan of? What is that experience like?
When I actually first started, instead of using my phone, I actually brought a pad and pen with me, like old school journalism.
Wow.
So to be honest, when it first started, I was, you know, just a mark in
mm-hmm.
the, you know, in the business. And I would probably tell you I was starstruck on certain people. Like I said, I was astonished at the fact that Kenny Omega remembered who I was solely based on a writing of an article.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, so when he remembered who I was, like, it blew my mind.
Right.
If you're not a fan of wrestling, the best way I can explain it is when I tell fans that aren't fans of wrestling, they're just like, "Oh, okay." And I'm just like, "All right, well, look at it this way. What sport do you like?" I like football. How would you feel if you could go interview the football players, you know, when you were a kid or older that you looked up to? How would you feel? "Oh, it'd be amazing." Well, that's how I feel all the time. It's amazing. It really is. It's incredible. To be able to say I've interviewed as many as I have,
mm-hmm.
and having been a kid watching them on television, it's just an incredible feeling. It really is. It's just nothing tops it. To be honest with you,
wow.
Nothing tops it for me.
That's truly awesome, man, and truly amazing. We're talking to Lee Walker. He's a journalist. He's a podcaster. He's famous, everybody. And he decided to come on this show tonight. I want to shift a little bit. You are a journalist. You said you were with Ringside News before, but you're with Sports Keita. You're with Sports Keita right now. Can you talk about that? How often do you do journalism work with them? And could you just talk about how that came about, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so I've written, you know, at a ton of places. Like, I've written for thesportster.com, therichest.com, Ringside News, Daily DDT. And right now I'm with Sports Keita, primarily wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Right now with the pandemic, I'm honestly not writing a lot, only because I would honestly say that viewership is down. So when viewership is down, that means for articles, viewership is going to be down. That means there's less people reading. And for me, I don't want to, you know, write something up or transcribe an interview and only maybe a couple hundred people read it. You know, I want the masses to you know, enjoy my work and stuff like that. And I'm actually getting ready to do an actual news piece, which I normally don't do. And it's on COVID-Con, which I was part of the first one. It was on Fight TV May 2nd and 3rd.
Sure.
Because I'm the ghostwriter for Mr. Hughes, his autobiography, and the COVID-Con thing is based all around professional wrestlers and their books.
Right.
So I was on Fight TV with that, and they're gearing up to do a second one next weekend, I believe, or it's June 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is next weekend. So June 14th, they have one. It's an all-day thing, and they've got guys like the Bushwhackers, Demolition, and stuff like that, which is really cool. I'm sorry, I'm going down a rabbit hole. What was the question again?
It's all good, man. I basically wanted to know how did you get you were doing well. How did you get involved with journalism, and how did you get involved with the company that you're writing for right now? So you were doing well.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so it all started at I Heart Oswego. They had me cover one wrestling thing, and literally after I submitted the article, I quit because I knew I wanted to just cover wrestling. So I started bouncing around to a few places, you know, the Sportster, the Richest, found my way to Ringside News, wrote there for probably about 8 months to a year, and then things just kind of fell in line. And we all kind of know how Ringside News is. It's either got a good reputation or it's got a terrible reputation. And it was just kind of time to move on to something different, you know, somewhere else. And that's when I had found Daily DDT, but then I also found Sports Kita. I was writing at both simultaneously, and I just wanted to be somewhere where I felt was a better fit. And Sports Kita, to me, is a better fit. They've got great writers. There's a couple other guys there besides me. Tom Callaho also writes for BT Sports out of England, I believe. And we also have Gary Cassidy. And those two guys, he's over in Scotland. And those two guys, man, they get current WWE guys and stuff a lot. My focus is, legends, the Hall of, guys in the Hall of Fame. I have a great relationship with Ring of Honor. So I get a lot of current Ring of Honor people. Like I've had Shane Taylor, I've had Flip Gordon, I've had PCO multiple times. So I work with, Ring of Honor does a real good job at, sending people over, as long as, you promote and plug and do everything the right way.
Absolutely.
I've had two current in WWE, which at the time was Goldust and James Ellsworth.
Nice.
And I had a similar situation with Dustin Rhodes. He actually remembered who I was after I'd interviewed him, and he had plugged my podcast show, which was really cool.
Wow.
Then probably about a year later, now he's with AEW, and there was a show in Poughkeepsie, New York. Mm-hmm. I went to that show, and he was there, and he looked at me, and he goes, "I've met you before." And I go, "Yes, sir." And he's like, "Hey, it's good to see you again." I was like, "Yeah, it's good to see you too." And the thing that was memorable for me, for him to remember him, was I had asked him a question about his dad and his thoughts about his dad, Dusty Rhodes, being in ECW. And Dustin started to choke up. And his exact words were, in this business, we were taught, if you spend $2, if you make a dollar and you spend $2, it's okay because, you'll make it up at another show or something. And he said that that's how his dad was. And unfortunately, he had spent too much of the $2 while only making a dollar, and almost it was kind of like he made it kind of seem like there was no choice but for his dad to go to ECW. So he actually choked up, and I was like, "Oh man, I feel bad about this now, even asking this." But it was interesting. But then like I said, about a year or two later, I'm at a show, and he's in the now in the red and the black, and you remember who I was, and that was cool too. So,
wow, it sounds like, man, you got a good reputation, you got a good track record, and that's huge to have in this industry, people to remember you, man. So that you're obviously making an impact every time you do something. Big respect to you on that for sure, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, really, I'm really sincere about that, man. Now,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you probably get this question all the time, and I know we've only worked with a few short minutes, but how do you, and this may be a corny question, but how do you assess today's wrestling product currently? Do you have an opinion on that?
I do, and it's a very thought-out opinion that you're probably not going to expect the answer to be, but it's really good. So here's what I see when it comes to wrestling fans. Now, the demographic of wrestling fans is generally higher among males, usually between 18 and, mid-30s is usually, the demographic for it, on the higher end. Now I'm 35, so when I watched, for me it was the likes of Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, this and that. Take the younger aspect of the generation who didn't get to watch that, the guys who are 18 right now watching, or 20 and watching. So 20 years ago, what they were watching was the tail end of the Attitude Era. So that's to them, that's going to be the best wrestling that there is. Where to me, my idea of the best wrestling is when I watched as a kid, because I think that's how everybody looks at it nowadays. You think that the best wrestling is when you were a kid. You go back and you look those 18 to 20 year olds are like, yo, when I watched wrestling, when I first started, The Rock, Austin, those guys killed it with the Attitude Era. So that, to them, that's a huge deal. Now, a guy like me, to me, it was the larger-than-life characters of Hogan and Macho and this and that. I watch wrestling today. I honestly have not watched since WrestleMania, and this is being dead honest. And it has nothing to do with the fact that there's no crowds. It doesn't have anything to do with COVID-19. It boils down to the fact that as me as a fan, I'm not happy with storylines as much as these guys are giving it their all, trying their hardest. The main roster to me is just, there's something missing, and I can't put my finger on it. And I want it because I listen to promos or interviews, and there's some guys, and I'm just going to say it because it's how I see it. A guy like Seth Rollins, to me, just sounds like he's reading off a script, but really he's reading off a script of what's in his mind, what he was told to say. My honest opinion would be to improve wrestling today, let them be themselves. Let them be themselves, because that's when they work the best, I think. When it came to Mania, I liked how the Undertaker and AJ Styles match was as the Boneyard match. Was it cinematic? Yeah, but it was done right. Now you watch the Firefly Funhouse. I didn't think that was done right. I watch Money in the Bank. A lot of people liked the new concept to it, but I didn't. It just felt too cinematic. And when, you watch that Money in the Bank match, you watch for the spots.
Exactly.
There wasn't a lot of spots in the match. Now, it was neat the fact that they did both of them at the same time, but I'm going to quote Jim Cornette on this one. I'm glad they did it at the same time because it got over with quicker. And I'll admit, I'm one of those fans. I'll even agree with the 18 to 20-year-olds. The Attitude Era was completely awesome. There was still wrestling involved, but it gave more of a reality aspect, story type lines. And they've tried that today, and a prime example was Lashley and Lana, and it just bombed.
Agreed.
I also think that's what you get when you're hiring Hollywood writers and you're not using writers who have been around pro wrestling or have been fans of it their whole lives. I think that's what's missing. There's almost too much dramatics in the storylines, but, you know, you see the one with Lashley and Lana fail, but then you see the one with Mandy and Otis working, and you go, okay, if it's not the writing, then it's who's doing the work themselves. So do you blame Lashley and Lana, or do you blame the writers? At this point, it's 50-50 in my eyes. It's, you know, and then, like, you got someone like Lashley who does an interview and openly talks about the storyline, not liking it, this and that. How are you supposed to watch it if even he himself doesn't believe in it? You can't.
You can't. I totally agree,
you know,
man.
So that's where I'm at with the current product. But NXT does a phenomenal job. I watch NXT still. I think that's, like, the only wrestling besides, like, AEW that, that I've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching those two.
You know, at least, like, you know, NXT and AEW, they're going to give you a bit more than what Raw and SmackDown is going to give you. Not a bit more, but a lot more, you know. You're not going to really be disappointed with those two promotions. So I agree with you, man, on that.
And those two got a lot to prove.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And AEW, for me, I know they're talking about doing a second show. Or televising the second show, but I feel like they're pacing themselves really well, you know, and I think they're coming. And if WWE isn't careful, I'm not saying they're going to overthrow WWE, but they're going to be a formidable foe with WWE if they decide to go head-to-head with them on a Monday night, because WWE got to get their act together, you know, or it may be a problem going forward.
I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, just to add a little bit to that, when I watch NXT or I watch AEW, and knowing AEW is coming out with a second show, the most incredible thing about this is WWE made the mistake of releasing all those superstars, and if they signed some of them back, that's great, but you just let go of a bunch of talent who are now going to help companies like AEW, NWA Power, Impact, Ring of Honor. A lot of people were upset at the fact that WWE released all those superstars, but in my mind I was like, no, this is actually a good thing, because it's going to revitalize and it's going to help ratings on other companies.
Exactly.
You know, by being able to pick up some of these guys. So the way I look at it, as a good thing, because now guys like Matt Cardona and Brian Myers can go somewhere and really craft their skill and really show off what they can do. Rusev can show what he can do. Curtis Axel. All these guys who got released, who WWE did nothing with for a long time, now we can really see what they're made of, and it's going to get people to watch.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you, man. I really do. So we'll see what happens, man. I got my eye on Impact Wrestling. I think they're climbing the ladder. They're going to be climbing the ladder pretty soon. I know we only got a few more minutes to go. Is there anything you want to promote or say before we let you go for the night?
Yeah, you know, make sure you check out our Twitter account. It is at Perched Top Rope. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Perched on the Top Rope. Instagram, this one's a long one, and I apologize. It was my own doing, and I wish I didn't do it. It is Perched_on_the_top_rope. A lot of underscores, but just between every word, there's an underscore. You want to look me up on my personal social media? Facebook is just Lee Walker. You'll see me with a photo of me with Adam Cole. Twitter and Instagram is it's_just_Walker. You can find me very easy. You can shoot me a message. You can message the podcast. I answer everybody. Even if you send me a friend request, I usually accept everybody. So I want to thank you for having me on. This has been a lot of fun. I'd love to come back on, because I got a lot more stories we could talk about. Who's good to interview, who is bad. We could talk about the fact that I was on MTV True Life. We could talk about a movie scene I had with Adrian Brody. So there's a lot more to me than just pro wrestling. I've interviewed Lenny Dykstra from the Mets.
Wow.
I've interviewed Kerry Means from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He was the voice of Frylock. I interviewed Larry Hankin, who's been in movies from Home Alone to, you know, Billy Madison.
Really?
Jack O'Halloran. So there's a lot we could talk about next time.
Oh, for sure, man. I didn't know all that, man. You something else, man. You're something to be reckoned with. Wow. All right, I'm going to reach out to you. Maybe we can do something for next month or something.
Yeah, we can do something next month. I'm totally down. And what I like to do is if you invite me on your show, I would like to have you come on mine sometime too.
Oh, man, that'd be an honor. As cliche as that sounds, that'd be an honor, man. I'll be happy to come on for sure.
Yeah, no, when you shoot me a message and we'll work out some details.
Okay. All right, Lee. Thank you for coming on again, man. You have a safe and a blessed night, okay?
Hey, you too, man. Stay safe. Have a good night. And everyone out there listening, make sure you tune into this show because there is no other show than Wrestle Talk with the D.
Oh, man. Appreciate that plug.
Yeah, you're welcome, man.
All right, take care, bro. I'll talk to you through the
message.
You're
welcome. Have a good one. All right, take
care. There you have it, man. I had such a good time talking to Lee Walker. He's a very interesting guy, and I told y'all about that earlier in the show, that he was interesting. And now I wasn't expecting him to say what he just said when we were beginning to close out the conversation or the interview. So I can't wait to have him back on because I know – many of you all probably would want to hear his stories. So, and I believe in bringing people on that's interesting. It's not about Martez, really. When I do this show, I like to put the spotlight on other people, you know, and I'm just happy that they accept the invitation to come on to the show. So we're going to bring him on next month, hopefully, if we get everything ironed out. And I appreciate him offering the invitation to bring me on his show. But everybody, I want to say thank you for listening tonight. This has been a good show. I want to thank Miss Miranda Morales from LuchaCentral.com. Thank her for joining the show, as well as, again, Mr. Lee Walker, a man of a thousand hats, it seems as if he is, perch on the rope. Thank him for coming on, and he's also affiliated with Sports Kita. So this has been Wrestle Talking to D. I'm going to close out tonight with the selection of the night, the theme song of the night, which is from my girl. You might not like her, but Sasha Banks. Have a good night, everybody.